www.thecommunity.com.
This past week, I was just a few blocks away from here, and I drove by a man who was standing on the street corner, and he was holding a couple of signs that talked about Jesus and saving people from hell. And I can't remember exactly what the sign said. I just noticed him as I drove by. Now, I don't know the man's heart. I wouldn't pretend to try and judge that. I'm not trying to judge his actions either. God very well may have spoken to this guy and said, hey, I want you to be out there holding these signs for people. And I suppose that holding a sign is maybe better than doing nothing in regards to reaching out to people with the hope of Jesus. But two things struck me as I drove by this. And my first thought was this. You know, that guy could probably stand out there holding those signs all day. And if maybe he just took a half an hour and went inside one of the shops and talked with somebody, it might actually have more of an impact than spending the whole day out there holding signs. You know, maybe. You're given the choice for us between holding signs for people and holding conversations with people. I hope we will be a community who chooses to hold conversations with people about Jesus best we can. Okay, so now again, I'm not trying to judge that action, but it made me think, wow, let's be people who hold conversations, not just hold signs. And the second thing that struck me was this. The guy out there, he had the right information. Okay, what he was sharing, what he was put on the signs, it was the right information. What he put on those signs was truth, and a bunch of people were going to see it. But most people aren't going to respond to the truth of Jesus just because they get the right information. It's usually because they receive that message, the hope of Jesus, from someone who loved them enough to share it with them. Okay, so we've been working through this life-changing conversation series, and the whole point is that we want to get better at sharing the gospel with people around us. And we've touched on noticing, how it's important that we open our eyes and see what's going on around us because there are opportunities there, and unless we see them, we can't step into them. We also talked about the importance of prayer because obviously we can't change anybody's heart. That's up to God. They can respond to Jesus. God's got to change their heart. We can point them toward him. That's our part, but it's so important. God's the one who does the heavy lifting in this, right? Not us. So we need to be praying. We also talked about asking and listening. So really, with the idea of, hey, here's how we can maybe initiate a conversation of any kind with someone, or how we can go deeper in that conversation. Again, by asking questions and really listening to people. And so this morning, we're taking a next step in this Life Conversation series journey, and we're focusing in on loving others. And there's just a few thoughts that I wanted to share with you about loving others. If you look through the scriptures and went all over the place, you could find a lot of material about loving others, and there's so much to say about that. But this morning, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts, and they're going to seem pretty basic, but I think they're really important. So just four things that I want to share with you, and a couple of passages where we see that about loving others this morning. Okay, and the first point, the first thought is this. God's love fills us. Okay, God's love fills us. At least that's what should be happening with us when we talk about love. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19 says this. For this reason, this is Paul praying, by the way, talking about how he prays for the people of Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's Paul's prayer, that we would experience, really, the love of God. Because when Paul talks about knowing the love of Jesus in this passage and the love of Christ, he's not just talking about knowing in a head knowledge type of way. He's talking about in a way that we experience. We're really experiencing God's love for ourselves. It's God's love that should fill us up. An interesting thing happened this morning. Just to be really clear, because it's been alluded to a little bit, we're doing a giveaway opportunity at the end of the day. And we're giving you guys an opportunity to share some goodies with people around you that need to know the love of Christ. Just a practical way to do that, all right? So we've got pies and muffins and things like that. But here's something interesting that happened this morning. And so I just kind of thought I would share this illustration in a little bit of a way. There was an empty box, right? And I thought, that empty box is, well, fairly useless. I mean, they did actually do something with it. They used it to block in the filled boxes inside of bigger boxes. But I saw that empty box, and I thought, hey, you know, that's where we start out, right? We are all empty apart from the love of God. And yet, what Paul is praying in this prayer is that we would be filled with that love, that we would be filled with God's love. We'd no longer be empty. And that's what we want other people to experience as well. All right? So, first idea is God's love fills us. At least that should be the case, that we would be filled by God's love. The second thing is this: God's love marks us. God's love marks us. In John chapter 13, Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says this: "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, so we've got all these boxes, and they're filled with different goodies and that sort of thing, different kinds. But there's a label on them, because sometimes it's hard to tell with pies exactly what kind it is. But there's a label on there, something to mark it: apple, blueberry, cherry, that sort of thing. Sometimes we need something to tell us, hey, that's what's inside, that's what's going on there. Well, when it comes to, though, our lives before others, it's the love that should be the mark that people see. That's what people should see in us. And the love that we share for one another and for them should be something that screams, you are a follower of Christ. I can tell because of your love. The unique distinguishing mark or label of a disciple or a follower of Jesus is not our beliefs, right? It's not our moral purity. It's not even our good works. Those are all important things. We want to be doing them, but that's not what's supposed to mark us according to Jesus. The one thing that's supposed to set us apart and show the world that we belong to Jesus is love. It's our love. The mark of a disciple or the follower of Jesus is love. So God's love should mark us. And then the third thing is this, that God's love compels us. God's love compels us. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 15, but we're going to skip a couple just for clarity. So verse 11 says this: "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." So we're talking to others about Jesus. Verse 14: "For the love of Christ controls or compels us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, we all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for their sake and was raised." So Jesus died for us. Now we have died with him, and we live for him. And that's why we persuade others, because of the incredible love that he's given to us. God's love compels us. So, you know, it's one thing to be empty. It's another thing to be filled by God. It's another thing to be labeled and marked as a follower of Jesus by our love But the point is not about just being a full box of love. The point is that we're... I don't know where that... Sorry, I don't know where that came from. The point... The point is that we're giving it away, right? That love that we experience is something we give away. So maybe represented this morning by the card that we have. It's a gift that we're called to give away. As Jesus fills us up, we give him away. We have this great hope, this great gift that we've been given. We've received the mercy and the grace of God through Jesus' death on the cross. It was the single greatest act of love that has ever been displayed. And because we've received that love, it's now ours to give away. So God's love should fill us. It should mark us. And it should also motivate or compel us to reach out to others and share the hope of Jesus with them. Now, of course, one of the most famous passages about love in the New Testament scriptures is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You've heard it at about 98% of the weddings you've been to. It gets read there. And I'm not actually going to focus in on that. You know, you'll see it on a plaque in someone's home or on a picture or screensavers and coffee mugs and, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy or boast, it's not arrogant. You know, love never fails. You know that part of the passage. I want to focus on the words just before Paul writes that, the words about love. Just before Paul writes that, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, he says this: "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing." Now think about the actions that Paul mentions here. I can speak in all the languages of the world or even the languages of heaven. I can be given a vision of things to come or receive words of prophecy from God. I can have all kinds of knowledge, earthly wisdom, spiritual truth. I can have an unwavering confidence in God and a faith that moves mountains. I can give everything away to the poor. I can suffer and die for the sake of Jesus. I can do all these things. I can have all these things. But if I don't have love, if I don't love others, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Right? Regardless of what I have or do, if I lack love for others, I am nothing. I gain nothing. And I accomplish nothing. Right? If I lack love for others, I am nothing, I gain nothing, and I accomplish nothing. Now, Paul writes that without love, it's like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Why does he use that imagery? I was, you know, thinking about that. Well, think about a cymbal for a moment. You know, cymbals, they have a very distinct sound, right? They're loud. They make a lot of noise. That's why we're always telling Josh to turn down on the drums. He hates that, but we're working on it, right? But the cymbals especially, they're really loud. They're really loud, right? Listen to the sound of that cymbal. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Just listen. What, 10 seconds? It's about how long it lasts. It's just a bunch of noise that fades away quickly. If we do anything, any of these good deeds, any of these actions, any of these great spiritual things without love, it's not something that lasts. There's a difference between doing something out of duty and obligation versus doing it out of love. If it's done out of duty and obligation, it's nothing. If it's not done out of love, it's nothing. It means nothing. It gains nothing. And ultimately, it's going to accomplish nothing. It's like a noisy, clanging cymbal. It just doesn't last. And yet, when we love others genuinely, even the smallest, simplest acts can be incredibly powerful. Now, I'm going to ask you this morning just to take a few minutes. We're going to watch a few video clips. And this is just, you know, YouTube Express right here. But, You know, these are just some small clips of things that show these maybe what seem like little actions that have huge impression on someone. So take a few minutes, sit back, and take a look. Look up to, and that I can talk to, and that you're always there, and that you care about me. And as we were talking about that email, we just said, you know, you have done something to demonstrate love to this person in a way that they now trust you. They really know, without a doubt, that you care about them. What did the guy say? If they know you love them and they know you care about them, you know, once that happens, then maybe our message isn't so difficult to share after all, or difficult for someone to hear, because they know that we care. Every kind act done in love, it makes a deposit in someone's life. Every loving act lets someone know you genuinely care about them. It's so important that we're doing that, so when God does open the door for an opportunity to talk about Jesus with someone, they know that it's with the right heart and with the right motive. They aren't some sort of project. They're someone we actually care about. We're speaking to them from a place of love. So I want to ask you this morning to think about this. When it comes to the people around you, do they really know that you love them? You know, do they know you really care about them? Have you been giving away your love or making deposits into their life so that when you have the chance to talk about Jesus with them, they know it's motivated by nothing other than love? That's what this giveaway is about today. Okay? It's a chance to do a simple act, a kind act, a loving act with someone as best you can tell. They don't know the love of Christ in their life yet. And so it's a way to reach out in a loving, kind way. That's what this giveaway is really all about. I want to ask you to consider this morning, if there's someone in your life, not if there's someone, who is the someone in your life that you feel like you could maybe take a moment and just give a simple gift to, in a way to say, hey, I love you, I care about you. You know, it doesn't have to be with strings attached. It doesn't have to be, now shut up and listen while I talk to you about Jesus. It's not that. Just an opportunity to show you love them in a real practical, simple, kind, caring way. There are cards that if you want to write a note to give to somebody, you can take one of those as well. In fact, I encourage you to take that, whether you use it or not, just in case. You'll have it there. It just says a gift for you, and you can write a note on the back. But I'm going to invite each one of you in just a moment to come on up and take one of the items to give away. There's predominantly apple pies. There's a few cherry and blueberry, and we do have some packs of muffins. Now, let me encourage you, don't just go to work and set it out in the break room and leave a note and say, hey, here you go, free food. Offer it to someone. Make it personal. Like, really care about someone, okay? Take the step to do that. So I'm going to pray. I want you to just think about who that person might be. You can even jot that in your bottom of your notes if you feel like that's helpful for you. And then just going to invite you to come up over the next couple of minutes and take an item that you can give away to someone around you just to show them the love of Christ in a practical way. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your incredible love toward us. We thank you that you have given such an incredible love, that you've lavished it out on us, and that you are the one who is filling us with your incredible love. As we even sang about this morning, how good you are and how much you love us, Father. We are grateful for that incredible love that you fill us up with. We want our lives to be marked by love. We want our lives to be seen by others as being different and unique because of how we love one another, how we love other people. And we also, God, want that love that's within us to not just be stuck inside of us, but to be something that compels us, that draws us towards others who don't know the hope of Jesus yet and moves towards them in loving ways. Lord God, this morning, as we think about those people, who those people might be in our life, we pray that you would give us a moment in the next day or two, a moment to be courageous and just simply show love in a very practical way with a gift for them. God, as you bring those people to mind and to our hearts, we simply pray that you would also then give us the courage to step into that and offer it to them. And in these next few moments, Lord, we just simply reflect that we're giving away something as a gift because you've given us something great that you call to give away to your incredible love. So, Father, be with us this week as we do this, and we lift it before you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.